Welcome, everyone, to Blind Bargains Cast, episode 41 for the middle of November 2015. I am Joe Steinkamp with my cohort, my partner in crime, the guy who gift wraps all of your good things at AT Guys. Hey, JJ, how you doing?
I don't think you want me gift wrapping things.
You sure? Okay.
I'm good with square boxes. You know? Squares and rectangles I can do. You know, oblongy, round things.
iPad Pro sized things. I saw the iPad Pro, by the way.
Yeah, 17-inch Samsung tablets. Yeah, no.
Yes, the 18-inch Samsung tablet. That's so true. Hey, everyone. We have a lot of news to get to, but we did travel a little bit. You went to the West Coast, I understand. How was that?
That was probably one of the more awesome weekends I've done in a while. It was a vacation for me. I was traveling for not work, which was awesome. It was a woodworking camp at the Lighthouse's Enchanted Hills camp north of San Francisco from the San Francisco Lighthouse. And master extraordinaire woodworker carpenter George Wurzel was the blind presenter and teacher of that over the weekend. And all of us made some really cool stuff. We had nine of us there. It was a really cool weekend.
Birdhouses, right? No.
We didn't make birdhouses. We made real things. I made a Moncala.
Oh, wow.
Someone made a table leg. We had shelves. We had filing boxes, all sorts of different really cool projects that were being made. And yes, with all the real tools and no blindy shortcuts or you can't use this because you're blind. And, you know, it's just like, hey, we have all these tools and this is how you're going to use them. And that's definitely the attitude I like. And it was really a cool experience. So when they do more of these from the Lighthouse, check them out. We'll be sure to share the info on them.
I like that because we should have blind people named Lefty and No Thumbs amongst us. I think that's just equal opportunity there. And no, I'm kidding. I've known a lot of people who've worked in metal. In fact, the mechanic, there's been several blind mechanics that I've worked with over the years, but the one that did the podcast, I can't remember his name. His name escapes me. I've worked with that gentleman.
The blind handyman guy?
I remember the blind handyman guy because he used to be one of the shows we carried at Sight Into Sound or Houston Taping for the Blind Radio, which, full disclosure, I am a board member thereof. So, yeah, we used to carry that. And, of course, Dale Campbell, we've carried some of his stuff before, too. So I've gotten a chance to work with some awesome blind celebrities, but I envy you on that one. I have no ability to, well, let's just say IKEA furniture poses a problem for most people, but me more than others. I am sitting in a new office chair, so we should hear less squeaking. I'm sure Patrick will be thrilled about that.
Oh my gosh.
A chair that Ricky and I put together. So if there's a crash in the middle of the show, that's probably
so you're sitting in your chair and you've been talking about this remote for the past couple of weeks and you're gonna finally show it to us today, right?
Uh-huh. This lovely new Nimbus controller from the Steel Series. The Nimbus 2000, as was stated in the last show. It is a controller that I will use on the Apple TV, and I like it so much better than flicking my way through menus and passwords. But there's still some things you have to use the remote for, and we'll get into that later. I also, you know, since we're on the moment of Apple, I did actually see the iPad Pro. I did not buy the iPad Pro. I went walking into the Apple Store thinking I was going to come out with a big, gigantic MacBook lid of an iPad under my arm, and I did not. I was very surprised. The screen is a little dimmer than I expected it. I had watched Andy Anako unbox his on Periscope, and he had made a comment about how it looked a little dimmer. And for low vision users, the smaller the screen of an eye device, usually the brighter it will become. So your iPhones tend to be like really bright. iPad minis are fairly bright. iPad Airs are okay. But the iPad Pro is kind of dim, especially in bright light and room light. And the thing that some voiceover users might not like, there are four speakers on the device. Two on the left, two on the right, depending on which way you're holding it. One on the top, one on the bottom. The iPad has a tendency to shove the highs to the top of the device and the lows to the bottom of the device, no matter what the orientation. So whether you're in portrait or landscape, doesn't matter. The highs will go to the top. Compact Samantha sounded abysmal, and Alex in some ways was kind of really hard to hear in a crowded environment. Now, remember, this is the iPad in an Apple store, but I did kind of get a chance to pull it away and get to a quieter place. And if you don't like the new kind of iDevice gets more bass because we make it sound kind of hollow thing that came about after the first iPad Air. You're really not going to like this because there's a lot of cavity noise coming out of the iPad Pro.
Well, and if you're not low vision user, you really have very little reason for a 13. I mean, I could justify a 7-inch or a 10-inch screen to have some real estate for some apps, but
well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because I thought it would be neat to be able to have two apps open side by side to be able to cut, copy, and paste with VoiceOver directly from one app to another. The thing that I found was really interesting was, and I don't know if you've ever encountered this before, but the larger screen, like if you go from an iPhone to an iPad, you might have some muscle memory issues when trying to do the rotor because you're used to having your fingers kind of pinched. This, I had to keep widening my fingers to be able to get the rotor to work on such a large screen. And that, I was surprised, kind of was a...
Oh, wow. So all the gestures perhaps have not been recalibrated as they should be.
Yeah, it was way different. And I was very surprised. Although having 4 gigs of RAM on board, VoiceOver was pretty snappy. I mean, it was really neat. And the keyboard, depending how you feel about the Surface keyboards, the keyboard was pretty nice. But I agree with you. It, again, is a limited use case. If you live in an iOS world, then this device might be for you if you want to have the ability of multitasking or, I know, perish the thought, Windows on your MacBook. That's possibly still the better use of your money because, you know, once when you throw down $949 for a Wi-Fi 128 gig version of this plus 160 something for the keyboard, you're rolling right into MacBook territory. So it's exactly like we talked about a couple of weeks ago with Rodney.
Well, if you've made that huge purchase and you want to let us know what you think, you can always email feedback@blindbargains.com. And of course, keep an eye out over the next week or two. Lots of Black Friday, Cyber Monday deals on Blind Bargains and other places. And next week, our holiday shopping show, we will have all sorts of merchants featuring cool, accessible products. So you can be sure to tune in next week's show. It's going to be all about shopping and deals. So
and Jay, tune in for that wrapping. One.
No gift wrapping.
Man, see, you just put it on the AT Guy site. You just put a little check mark there. It just
there's a reason that's not there.
Okay. Well, we've buried the lead, as they say in the broadcasting industry, getting into the news. Something just as big, if not bigger, than the iPad Pro. Another merger. This time, the hunter has become the hunted. Jay. Freedom Scientific has been merged within Optelec by a company in California, it seems, has acquired both companies and decided that, hey, two tastes are better than one. And so they have merged the two companies into one giant conglomerate. And wow. So last year we had a merger story. This year we seem to have a merger story. And this right here, folks, is why I don't even try to get off my butt to put together this year an AT until after Thanksgiving.
Nobody predicted this one. So back in April, Freedom Scientific acquired ABIC, and that's kind of where this started. In the summer, they were selling JAWS for really, really cheap at the conventions. Now some of this starts to make sense, right? So the company's called Vector Capital. They're a $2 billion with a B dollar company, and they are investors. These are people that are out to find companies that they feel are undervalued or underperforming to try to either turn them around or to get them to make more money. So WinZip, you may have heard of. They own them. Corel, who used to do a lot with WordPerfect, but you don't hear much of these days. And many, many other companies they own currently. So now they own Freedom Scientific and Optelec and are combining them so far, keeping their separate brands. But at some point, who knows, they might become one giganto brand of screen reading and magnification power. I think we used the juggernaut term on our headline over there.
We did. We had more comments about that on Twitter than we did on the article. I thought we'd see something from Dark Nexus on that article, but we did not.
Yeah, I threw a few down in the sound off. We'll mention them a little later on. But
that's awesome, though.
You know,
you're right. It was the summer, and we said $75, and I don't know that. I think we said it on the podcast, but I know we said it off air that it felt very much like they were trying to build revenue, that they were trying to increase user base and show critical mass.
Especially user base.
Yeah.
We have so many users that have the current version of JAWS, and we've brought current. So, yeah. I mean, a lot of this really makes sense now. Now, there's a couple of questions that have come in. You know, well, Vector Capital, they know nothing about screen readers. Yeah, that's true. But they're also not dumb. Yeah, and they're going to put people in positions or keep people in positions that they feel are going to help create. They're not here to kill JAWS, I don't think. You know,
no, but you know, Wafra had enough years to try and do that over the years when they owned Freedom Scientific, and there were several years where people wondered that as well. And remember, Freedom Scientific itself was a merged company that was Hinter Joyce and Arkenstone and several others, and that seems like so long ago. However, it, you know, in far as companies' lives, not so long, really, honestly. You know, companies do this from time to time. Unfortunately, it's a sign of what's going on in the industry. Humanware had some changes that just happened to it recently. Some individuals that used to work at Humanware no longer work at Humanware. The Optilec had a lot of good product coming out this year. We talked to Ivar and Stefan earlier this year. So they were, you know, because they had the new compact and they already had released some new compacts at the beginning of the year. That was one of the tweets I know was people were worried about the, you know, does this mean that Optilec will change? And not probably, possibly not. Don't know what the Low Vision International deal will be, right? So Optilec had a lot of things with shoplowvision.com and some other side projects, which will be interesting to see where that goes.
You have parallel brands of magnifiers, and that's the one thing I could see in the short term. Yeah,
I know there are Topaz fans and, you know, fans of the line of the Onyx and the like. I think the Ruby is still the standout of all of those.
Are there features from the two that you could combine that to make?
I think the Ruby and the compact handhelds, that would be a fight because they're both handhelds with kind of that handle, and they both have very good and bright displays. But yeah, the only thing I can think of is if they reintroduce the compact's removable battery that it had for a little bit.
It's also going to depend on what's sitting around in stock. They're not going to move too fast if they have a whole bunch of Rubies or compact anything sitting on the shelves. They're not going to want to kill the brand.
Are famous, the ClearViews, Optilec ClearViews are famous for having the controls on the tray, which a lot of people enjoyed being able to have the ability to magnify or change their filtering from the XY table. And there was touchscreen on the latest ClearViews. I don't know if it means anything for the standalone stuff. Like if you flip it, right? That ClearView reader thing that they've been promoting for a couple of years, does that run into what they might be doing with ABIC? Because ABIC was brought on to do a little bit more in the scanning reading appliance kind of stuff. It's going to be interesting. It takes a little bit of time though. It usually takes like 9 months to kind of figure out what toys you got. And then it takes about 3 more months before you put them in the garage sale. So it'll take some time. Very good questions.
AI is still working on it. I mean, there's still GWmicro.com with their own content.
I would say that. Let me say up front, I'm currently working with AI Squared on a contract, full disclosure. So forgive me if I don't speak too much on this next story, but a marriage of a different kind. Zoom Text Fusion has now been released.
So this took a year and a half. So that merger happened. Or that was more of a buyout, really. Whatever, however you want to look at it. That was April-ish, somewhere around there, right? 2014?
2014, because it was January when the announcement of WindowEyes for Office came out. And then it was just
and I had heard rumblings at CSUN, but we had nothing we could go on at that point. But shortly after CSUN, it was when that happened. So about 18 months later, the first real amalgamation of these products, this is Zoom Text Fusion. So this is pretty much Zoom Text plus WindowEyes in one cobbled together solution. Now, you know, I'm also on the WindowEyes beta team too. So it's kind of like, but I see what they're trying to do. The idea is as you lose your vision, you want to transition from one product to another and ideally stay within the same brand and same company. You have a screen magnifier, you have a screen reader. Ideally, if you have progressive vision loss, you're going to want to use magnification at first and maybe add some speech, then maybe add more speech as you go along, and eventually perhaps you lose the magnification. So it's a good start. Now, $995, first of all, for the whole thing. Currently, the WindowEyes prices and Zoom Text prices haven't changed other than I think some multi-user type stuff has, but most of the pricing is still the same. But it's going to take time. And it did with Jaws and Magic too. It's going to take time to really realize the benefits of this and to even kind of mesh things in a way to try to make as many users as possible happy. That's the challenge they're going to run into. We've heard no indication so far that AI is killing the WindowEyes brand or at least the screen reader part, but we don't know what's going to happen in the future. At the moment, if you use WindowEyes, stick with WindowEyes. If you use Zoom Text, stick with Zoom Text unless you're losing your vision, in which case you now have an option that you can keep the magnification. Before, you would have had to pay, what, $395 or $595 plus Windowize, and now you could essentially pay one price and have it all a little more integrated together. So we'll see where this goes. The Office deal still stands at the moment for Windowize as well. I don't know how long that's going for. They haven't said if it just keeps renewing, or we don't really have any info on that. But the free copy of Windowize is still out there currently. And of course, with AI Squared, there's, you know, there's Zoom Text levels. What's the $50 Zoom Text show? I never really figured out what's the purpose of a $50 version of Zoom, that Express.
Oh, that's remember when it used to be called Zoomware and it used to be called Zoom Text Lite, L-I-T-E?
Is that like Connect Out Loud for magnification?
Yeah, kind of. That happened before, but well, you know, I've been using Zoom Text since DOS, and I've used Vocalize, and I've known a lot of people in Vermont and in Indiana over the last practically two decades. For me, this was weird, not just because I'm working a contract, but moreover, it was weird because there are two products that I use constantly, and here's a different version of them. And so for the first time in a very long time in assistive technology, something that I use personally, I had a dog in the hunt. You know, it was like, wow, this is kind of different. So with that said, though, it colored my perception of the product. So I've been very, 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 very quiet about this product because I think it's subjective. Most assistive technology usually is, but you can usually gain you could skim the top of any given sample and get an idea, even if it's anecdotally, whether it's a good fit for the majority of people. But because, like you said, it is a product that is designed to help individuals that are losing their vision to go from, you know, say being a partial to unfortunately losing their vision and becoming totally blind. The product is there to help in that regard. It might be something that somebody has a definite feel about. So that's why there's a 60-day trial and people can go try it and see what they think.
Anybody can get a trial of Fusion. Even if you have Windowize installed or Zoom Text, you can get Fusion. And the one thing, working with some seniors doing some training, I see some that use Zoom Text, and Zoom Text traditionally did not provide a lot of speech output in certain situations. You had the reading modes on the web.
Magnifier Reader had limited screen reading, and you're correct.
Right, and some seniors especially, they could have used more speech output. So now this might be a way to provide that to them without them feeling like, you know, that they're not going to lose their magnifier. You know, at some point, they're probably going to get to the point where they're not even using the magnifier. But, you know, it's a comfort level thing, and you don't want to take it away from them. So they're really going to end up be using speech more and more without even realizing it in some cases. And they can probably more easily transition to it. So 60-day trial, you can try it out. And if you do, let us know what you think or what needs to be improved. And, of course, you can tweet at AI Squared as well. And
pass along that feedback. The team is really excited about the product being out there, and they are looking for feedback from individuals, especially about the new Learning Center. There was a lot of time and effort put into the Learning Center, which is a great way for people to get to know the new product and the new Startup Wizard, which are some great features about that new product.
You can tweet them from your Android accessible watch.
Totally do that. And it seems like we have some news in that area where we haven't for a while. What Android Wear has been around, well, probably since about the merger of Zoom Text and Windowize. So about 18 months or so. And there have been limited things. We've heard from Nimer a couple of times about the accessibility, both on Twitter and here on BBQ.
Yeah, we had the Gear S.
And now it seems like the new LG Urbane 2, everybody's coming out with their new watches this year. I know. And it's meant to make you think of affluency. You know, it's an aspirational name, Jay. You want to own it and have it on your arm and show the world what you mean by buying a Korean watch and throw it on your arm. No, nothing too negative there. What I mean by this is that we have now some accessibility now coming to Android Wear, which I am actually excited about.
This is coming from Google, right? The way I'm understanding this. Now, most of your watches, first of all, don't have a speaker. This Urbane 2 does. It's one of the few that does. And it sounds like you can swipe between the different, are they like, they're like kind of views or whatever? cards. It's kind of like Google Now cards
on a watch. I guess cards, but I guess it would be the equivalent of glances on the Apple Watch.
Right. Unfortunately, I think they're calling the cards because they already have the Google Now cards.
Right, so it's kind of like your Google Now cards, but yeah. Right. So basically something that's in a container.
Now, surprise, surprise, you need sighted assistance at the moment to set this up. We'll link to that. I think one of these links has those instructions, so at least I read them somewhere. Because, you know, I think it's going to be kind of like the Gear S, where it might work for a few people, but it's probably nowhere near the Apple Watch or a way that we can recommend it at this point. I've seen lots of progress, though, at Google, and we didn't really throw it in the stories for this week, but another new TalkBack beta that now went live, refresh of the Google Plus website that has a lot more accessibility with it. A bunch of other stuff, especially from Victor. He's really seems to be, whatever job he has now, seems to be making a lot of headway to seeing some of the things that have been coming out. An accessibility degree or a engineering degree that has accessibility as a component. So lots of really cool stuff coming from the Google area lately.
Seems like we've also got some more here. Steve Sachin recommended this on Twitter, which is kind of the ability to have kind of the talk back effect or have audio kind of play back through. Is this kind of the same thing as the other story that you could tell?
Yeah, as far as I know, I haven't done a lot of research. I was woodworking. So
I was building building an office chair. I can't say much.
I was going to make a watch out of wood.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. Definitely going for that retro look.
I'm not a watchmaker. I've learned that much.
I've been busy going to the Apple store and seeing my own reflection in a giant iPad. No, there's so much tech going on out there. You said this like 2 weeks ago, and I know it sounds repetitive of us saying that, but there's a lot to catch up on, and so much coming out all at once. If you're using one of these Android Wear watches, or if you're interested, maybe you've gone to the store, definitely let us know. You know, I was in the Apple store, and VoiceOver was not on the demo of the iPad Pro, but they're hooked up to Wi-Fi, so I immediately just asked Siri to turn VoiceOver on, and looky there. Because the poor Apple guy was like, that's under settings, right? It's under general. No, here, hand it. I'll take care of it real quick. Hold on. Nice guy. He's a good guy.
And then they get confused in how to turn it off. You know, sometimes you just need the to know the correct shortcuts to how to get things done. We talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We talked about this two or three shows ago. Joel, tell me which number it was because I don't remember these things. ML Word Tips.
Your trip to New York.
Yes, my trip to New York, we did a lot of cool things there, and I interviewed Lynn Tatum about ML Word Tips. You'll go back to the whole podcast back.
I think it was 38.
37
or
38. 30. See, you don't even know.
I think it's 38 because 39 was original Gangsta.
Oh, see, I couldn't tell you a single title. Introducing ML Word Tips. It is now available in the App Store. You can go get it. So we just wanted to follow up and let you know of that. This is the app that gives you all sorts of keyboard shortcuts and nifty tricks for Microsoft Word, and it was developed by Michael Deuce.
And yay! And you could send that out on a drone, or maybe you could send that out on a Raspberry Pi. Maybe you could just, I don't know, attach it to an Arduino arm and then have it wave back and forth to the sound of my voice on this podcast. This is a story you've put in here that I see about more accessibility with these types of computers and automation type thingies.
Arduino.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Arduino is, these are kind of circuit boards that you can use to build and tinker with electronics. You can attach sensors. You can do a lot of other cool things with them. There isn't a lot currently written about how to do this stuff accessibly. And this is kind of like the modern version of the old ham radio kits or the soldering kits or anything like that.
Or that 108-piece thing you used to get at Radio Shack that allowed you to build those kinds of things.
You could build a flashlight.
Exactly.
Attach wire LED 3 to wire 14. Actually light 14.
Up a number 8. It was like, ooh.
So Arduino is the modern version of that. But the blog, which is being run by Josh Mealy of Smith Kettlewell and Lighthouse Labs, is seeking to kind of gather some information on the accessibility of Arduino. So a lot of it's going to be trial and error. I'm going to be trialing and erroring.
Used a lot in the MakerBot and drone, like I was saying a moment ago, kind of communities. Those are boards are used often in kind of the I hate using the term hack in this particular vernacular, but kind of the hackaday kind of people, or the people who put together different types of
use of that word. I mean, that's really what hacking is taking pieces of things and putting them together. You know, looking at electronics, looking at the ability to perhaps create accessible versions of tools using sensors, using objects. I mean, there's a lot of potential here. Whether you're a maker or a tinkerer, whether you want to create something to teach blind kids the coolness of electronics, I think there's a lot of potential here. So the blog is pretty much open. If you have played with this stuff and you want to contribute resources or tips or how-tos or guides, we've linked to it at our website. What's that? Oh, blindbargains.com. You can check it out and you can read up on Arduino and follow the blog. It seems like a really cool endeavor, and we'll be participating in that one.
The holidays are coming up, and for some people that usually mean remembrances and end of the year and looking back at those we have lost. This week we have three that we have lost in the assistive technology industry. Two of the names that I have not worked with and I did not know extremely well, the founder of CSUN, and also someone who is labeled as the father of accessibility. However, the third person I did know only by reputation / I would fall asleep to the sound of his voice reading wonderful books. Mr. Roy Avers passed away, and the obituary we have here in the show notes. This one hit Ricky pretty hard. She that was one of her favorite narrators. I know it was for a lot of people, and I just... That's it's always hard to believe someone who has been in such a big part of your life, such as a Bard narrator or NLS narrator or even an Audible narrator, has left us. And you just remember those voices and those characters that they brought to life so well.
Yeah, definitely. I can really see how the attachment might grow, but listening to the, you know, 10, 20, 50 books from the same guy, it's just, you know, it's like a father or someone that's, you know, constantly reading to you over and over.
Bob Baskey's another one of those where, I mean, I would read him in a book like a Stephen King book, but then he was reading me baseball scores in Sports Illustrated. It was so strange. It was, you
know. Art Karshmer was one of the founders of CSUN and huge into teaching math to blind students and big into STEM education. He taught over in San Francisco, and still pretty recently, I was looking over on YouTube. There was quite a few videos of him talking about how that might be accomplished, and some pretty done a lot of research in that area. So, you know, thinking about math and STEM, we mentioned thought about Dr. Nemeth before on the website. Math to blind people before it was the cool thing to do. These were pioneers that helped blaze the trail for some of the people like Cena and others that are doing it now. So he also
where print liberated away. Us in the community for the last 100 years, math will liberate the community for the next 100 years. Math literally has become the literacy for computing, for the web, for understanding how things work going forward. So it is a very important thing for us to have, and his work is well regarded in that area. And it was even mentioned some at the 30th anniversary of CSUN this year. I do remember some of those presentations.
Finally, one of the you mentioned the father of accessibility, and this is someone I had not even heard of. His name is Tim Nugent, but he was one of the early advocates for disability law coming from the veterans coming back from World War II. And fighting for a lot of this is 45 years before the ADA was passed, and just a few years after the NFB was founded. So dating back to the 40s and working, he helped found one of the departments of rehab at University of Illinois, and did some programs of wheelchair athletics, all sorts of cool stuff. So he also passed away
at the age of 92. Also, in the realm of narrators, it got some people very nostalgic, and Brian Harchin posted something that I liberated from Twitter about British narrators and how RNIB has touched lives for individuals. There's been a lot of stuff coming out of RNIB in the realm of talking books and those being made available to more in the UK. And I thought that this was a very appropriate post to put in show notes right next to Roy Avers, since it kind of gives us an idea of what the perspective is for those outside the United States and their talking books / reading programs.
Oh, I now have seen your segue here. Narrator. was that what you were trying to do here?
Well, Looking back at it, no, but that I like great. Your idea a lot better. So narrator into narrator for Microsoft Xbox, one of the other stories that I thought would be at the top of the news list, but really kind of seems a little smaller compared to the amazing things that have happened in the last week, i.e. the merger. The Microsoft update did come out for fall 2015. Liam and others, in fact, Liam went and turned in his PS4 and came back to us on Xbox. Hello, look at that, huh? He's very excited to have narrator and says that the keyboard support makes that all the more fun. And I've seen from other people that it does crash a little bit. I've seen some of my gamer guys, Brandon Cole and others. And we have a couple of links here to demonstrations of narrator and a blog post about narrator.
Brandon Cole?
Yep, one of the people I follow on Twitter. So it will crash if you move too fast. At the time of this recording, it reads the store. It can read some of the chats. I think it was having some issues reading achievements from what I got from Liam. We're going to get some time with Liam and sit down and play with it as he has a bit more, when he stops playing games and does more with it, actually, at the moment. He was playing MK, Mortal Kombat, and Injustice again. So when we can pry the controller, that Elite controller that's also listed here in the show notes, $150 Elite controller that's perfect for accessibility for those who want to be able to have the ability to move buttons or thumbsticks or have more control. The guys over at Able Gamers had worked with Microsoft to make this wonderful controller. It's available in some of the bundles. So if you're actually looking to buy a new Xbox One, and there are killer deals going on all the way up to probably Christmas from Amazon and others, one of the bundles has this Elite controller inside it. And you can take a look at the article here. They've been promoting the Elite controller for a bit, and it's pretty neat. And there are some accessible games, people ask me. Well, yes and or no. For low vision individuals, there are some friendlier games out there. The original Peggle is a good one. I've mentioned that on other podcasts in the past for iOS devices. But as far as, you know, true quote-unquote Xbox games, a lot of the fighting games, you'll have to do some memorization of the way that you navigate through menus, and there are several blind gamers online who will be happy to help you through that. But games like You Don't Know Jack and others, you can sort of navigate and do in a family situation. There are some Kinect games that you can play with your family as a group. Hopefully that's the way you want to do that. But as for navigating a game with narrator, no, not yet. And I don't know that it's really designed for that yet, because it's very graphical and the interfaces are still graphical. I don't know that you'll see something like you do in iOS or TalkBack for Android, where you will have a menu system that will work with narrator yet. I'm hopeful.
All right. Let's keep us updated on that between you and Liam and whoever else will. More other gaming show probably coming up at some point.
Yeah, you know, I will be talking about a controller on Apple TV just real soon. So, yeah, stay tuned, folks.
Speaking of games, I'm looking at the latest Access World, which we've linked to here. An article on 64-ounce games, who has now had a successful Kickstarter, the second, raising money for the Braille RPG Dice and more. You can still donate for the next few days. Also, the annual holiday gift-giving guide is in here. Holiday shopping using your iOS device. And an article on CrowdViz, a remote video assistant. If you haven't heard of this thing, it's pretty cool. I've been playing with that a little bit. And another on-demand assistant. So lots of cool stuff. Oh, even an article on Learning Ally.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's
not really a cutting edge.
Stumble down the Learning Alley.
You know, lots of cool stuff for the holidays. And have you written your letter to Santa yet, Joe?
I have not. You know, you had made that comment about me doing the Santa voice, and I can't hold a, you know, I can't hold a tune to the real guy. I mean, that guy, I'm telling you, bowl full of jelly and all the other stuff, he has it down, let me say that. But if I was going to write my letter to Santa, maybe it would have some Xbox One games in that letter to be placed under the festival tree, how could I do it accessibly?
Ah, well, this has been an annual thing now for a few years. You can fill out a form, or you have to be 10 and under 10, Joe.
Okay, let me see.
I was thinking about, this is the NFB's letter to Santa program. You fill in a form, your parent or your teacher helps, you know, your kid do this, and they will send back a Braille Lana letter from Santa or his elf.
Yes.
Really cool. I was actually considering sending one in from 10-year-old Joe.
Oh, just, wow.
And I think it's sent to you.
10-year-old Joe was into Star Wars, and isn't that funny? There's a new Star Wars movie out next month. What comes around goes around.
I thought about surprising you with a letter, but I decided not to.
Just be glad I didn't put the story right next to this about Marvel Comics releasing adult bedding wear. In other words, black and white tasteful things of Peter Parker and others to be able to, as a 40-something-year-old person will do, go out and buy Spider-Man bed sheets. I thought about that. I thought that there was a way to segue into those two. Looking back at that, nope, I realize how silly that was. So, no. But for those of you who are looking for more information about this partner program with BrailleWorks, the NFB, and others, we have a link right here in the show notes.
Coming up, Joe shows us his Nimbus and also Sound Off. And the last word involving another Mr. Rogers story and much more. Stay tuned, episode number 41.
This is Santa Claus. I'm up here at the North Pole getting ready for Christmas. And I've been watching all of you to see if you've been naughty or nice. This year, I got myself an account on Twitter. And let me tell you, there's a lot of crazy drama on that thing. Some people like to narrate their entire life on Twitter. And what's with all of the subtweets? But there's one good thing about Twitter. AT Guys. They're my go-to source for the latest toys for cell phones and so much more. They've got Bluetooth speakers, headsets, talking battery packs, even a wireless thermometer that works with your iPhone. So do what Santa does and visit ATGuys.com for all of your holiday shopping. And for goodness sakes, enough with the Dice World tweets. Merry Christmas!
Hey everyone, it's Joe here in a living room playing with my Nimbus controller. Now that sounds absolutely disgusting and wrong, but really no, it is a pretty neat thing. I have a iOS controller, or what's called MFI, made for my iPhone controller, and I got it the same day I got my Apple TV. And lo and behold, believe it or not, it comes with a companion app that is,
V1641.
Voiceover friendly, which is kind of cool. So the app here, I paired with my iPad, and that's actually how you do updates.
Page 1 of 1. V1, this controller is up to date.
So in the app, it actually gives you a list of games.
Games, tab, 1 of selected, updates, tab, settings, tab, help, tab, 4 of 4.
Right, real simple stuff, and the list of games is really neat in that... you can look it up by genres and find out what games are available that work with a controller. Because if you're going to get one of these controllers, you're like, okay, what games can I play on it? And there's a lot of games here listed that comes from the Steel Series. It's called the Steel Series Nimbus, and it's called the Steel Series Nimbus app.
1941, Frozen Front, Handy Games.
Right? And what's neat is you could actually flick to the right.
Progress. 80%.
It says progress, but really what that is the rating system. So the progress is 80%, which means it was rated like 80% on the App Store or by others. And you can actually go to the App Store from here.
Get button.
To get it. So if you don't know where it is or you don't want to get into the App Store, you can actually get that app that it's referred to here within the app of the Nimbus, which is easy and much faster than having to look it up or do App Switcher and go between apps. Let me take a second here and put down my iPad for a second and tell you about the controller itself. It is very lightweight. It's a dark looking controller. It has kind of that, it's more of the Xbox long styling on the two handles versus the PlayStation, but the configuration is very much like a PlayStation controller. At the very top, as I'm holding it, is all your buttons and configurations that you can do. And on the bottom is real flat because it's a wireless and lightning compatible controller. And what I mean by that is I can charge it through the lightning cable. I don't have a battery pack on this per se, not a removable one. It's all internal. And that has not only just saved it on space, but on weight. So on a full charge, you get about 40 hours of gameplay. Now I've not had the opportunity to test that to know if that's really true or not. So I'm just going by what the box specs say, but on the bottom, that's really all you'll feel is where the battery pack is. It's kind of flat, some writing on that, safety stuff for the most part. And then the screws where the controller is put together. Now, as I flip this back so I have the controls in front of me, I'll go up the left side. So up the left side and move my finger along the side of it. There's nothing on the side. Of course, that's where you hold it. And then up at the very top are two buttons. You hear the pretty good action there. They flick right back. And they are pressure sensitive, so analog. So you can do things on racing games. But that's the what PlayStation people would call L1 and R1, or excuse me, L1 and L2. And then that would be the bumper in the trigger for those who play Xbox types games. So that's where they are on the left side. If I come across, there is a switch that goes on and off. It allows me to turn the controller physically off. It will go to sleep, especially if it doesn't see anything pairing. But if you want to make sure turning it on and off is good, you also have to do that for a reset. The middle is where the lightning cable is, right in the very top middle of the controller. On the right side is the pairing button, so you can actually push that button to repair to a device, as in not repair it, but re-pair to another device. We'll do that here in a second. And then on the right side is the R1 and R2, or right bumper, right trigger on this particular controller. And then you run your finger down the side and it's just the regular handle where your hand wraps around it. On the very top, we have on the far left side where your left thumb would naturally rest, a D-pad. All right. And the D-pad is a four-part D-pad, not necessarily an eight directional. And what I mean by that is for true fighting fans of old school 8-bit, 16-bit RPGs, for fighting games and what have you, you have up, down, left, right. They are specific and they are very analog-y, digital-y, in that you do have pressure sensitive, and you can do really good up and down movements. So up, down, left, right, you can totally do that and know that you're doing that. It doesn't have that squircle, round kind of square thing that's going on in a lot of the newer gamepads, so you have an eight directional. And what I mean by that is if you're playing Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat and you have to do a half circle move, it'd be a little harder on this to do, but that's why there is right below where your thumb is, a thumbstick. There are two thumbsticks, and they feel very much like the PlayStation controller in where they are as far as left and right thumbsticks go. And the good action on those, I think they're actually buttons. I think they will actually serve as an L3 and an R3, but I don't think I have any games to really test that theory. Right above those two thumbsticks that go for your left and right is the giant round home button, literally like where you would see it in an Xbox controller. And that does work a little bit as a home button on the Apple TV as well. The little area that's right above that are red LED lights, and those tell you battery status, pairing status, things like that. I have had no real issues in knowing whether I paired or not on the iPad or on the TV. I've been able to do that with VoiceOver on both those devices. So if you are a VoiceOver fan and want to use this controller like that, you can. And it works fairly decently. Not a lot of crazy things you have to kind of figure out on whether it's working or not. The right side, where your right thumb would naturally rest if you held it, is the general button configuration that you already know, the diamond for some people, or at least the four buttons that you're already used to. And what I mean by diamond, that means for PlayStation, it would be the triangle, square, circle, and X. And that's where those would naturally fit. For Xbox fans, that would be your ABXY buttons. And those feel really good. So if you needed to play an old schooler and you wanted to have the digital controls for thumbpad, D-pad, and buttons, that feels really, really nice. And it's not too much of a stretch to move your fingers down and do those kinds of sticks. This would be a little different if you were a Halo fan and you wanted to have that Xbox style analog stick a little higher. That would probably throw you off a little bit, but if you're a PlayStation fan, this will feel really comfortable and really nice. And this is it as it's paired to my iPad for the app. Like I said, you can actually check this to get
AFL Live 2 home and updates.
Updates. You will connect to this through Bluetooth. It can tell you whether you're connected or not, or disconnected. And then it will transfer the update to the controller wirelessly through Bluetooth. And that's kind of a neat feature. I was able to do that right out of the box. And it was really nice to do with VoiceOver. Had no real issues. In the box, by the way, when you get the controller, it's about $49.99 at the Apple Store. you can, well, open it up and you will find in there some packaging and the controller and a little bit of a pamphlet to tell you to go get this app. Not a lot of unboxing, so that's why I didn't actually do that on the air here with the microphones. The iPad app has updated once, and that's been not a problem. This will work on iPhone as well. And that's not really the reason why I wanted to demonstrate this. I really wanted to demonstrate this, and I'm going to turn the microphone here a little bit. I really wanted to demonstrate this because the new Apple TV can be a little daunting for those who are using it with the controller that comes with it, the Siri remote. The Siri remote is very sensitive. You could just barely breathe on it. It'll flick all the way across the room. Also, to enter in passwords, well, that can take a while to be able to enter in a password with the Siri remote because it's just so crazy sensitive. And you have to flick continuously to be able to enter in letters on passwords, and that can be just crazy for some people. There's a reason why they put the recents on the far left of the password / login portion of typing on the Apple TV is because some people really are going to get tired of flicking left and right on the little thing to be able to enter in a password. The thing I like about this controller a lot is that I can actually use it on the Apple TV to enter in searches or passwords or what have you. And also I can wake up my Apple TV with it if I don't have the Siri remote nearby. Now I just repaired this and it's actually going to have to not wake up the TV because I'm going to have to wake it up with the Siri remote because I've unpaired it from it. But if it was paired, I could wake it up from that. So I'll wake up Apple TV here.
Calling three.
Now I'm going to have to go back into my settings to get that to go into the pairing area.
NFL, row four, calling one. Hulu, row three, calling one. Search, row two, calling one. Hulu, row three, Jetpack Joy Ride. Row three, Hulu, row three, calling one. Jetpack Joy, Netflix, settings. Row two, calling App Store. Row one, calling three, App Store, feature, tab. App Store, row one, calling three. Movies, row one, calling one. Search, row two, calling one. Computers, row two, calling two. Settings, row two, calling three. Settings, general, accounts, button. Audio and video, button. Three of AirPlay, button. Four of remotes and devices, button. Five of nine. Remotes and devices, remote. Touch surface tracking, meeting, other devices. Bluetooth, button. One of two. Learn remote, button. Two of two, Bluetooth, button. One of two. Bluetooth, remote. Connected, 97% battery level, button. My devices, Nimbus, not connected, button. One of one. Nimbus, setup. Connect device, one of two. Bluetooth, my devices, Nimbus, connecting, button. One of one.
And now.
Remote, connected, 97% battery level, button. One of one. Remotes and devices, other devices, Bluetooth, button. One
I have two. Nimbus back paired to the Apple TV, and I can move it up and down. In the menus, I've put down the Siri remote.
Learn home via volume control. Auto via IR TV. 202. Configure your volume control settings. Remotes and devices. Button. 5 of 9.
I'm backing out of here by hitting what would be the B button on the Xbox controller. And the way that is, in the way that the little diamond is, it's actually the one that's at about 3 o'clock.
Settings, row two, column three.
The one that's at 6 o'clock would be my acceptance. So if I wanted to come up here to say App Store,
row one, column three.
I would hit the button at 6 o'clock.
App Store, feature, tab, one of five.
Go in here. Now, I bring this up once again because if I come over here to
categories, purchase, tab, search, tab, five
search,
of five.
I can get through this list so much faster than flicking on the controller.
Keyboard, A.
Right? There's Alpha. A. Let's say it's over here at Z.
B.
I'm holding the
delete
right part of the D-pad, and I am now on the far side of this keyboard.
Z.
There's Blue. Z. I just pushed one to the left, and boom, I'm there. But let's type something in here real quick.
Space. A. B. B. A. A. B. B. C. D. E. A. I. Delete. Z. Y. X. W. V. U. T. S.
Right.
T. U. V. W. X. Y. Y. Baby. Z.
Babylon. That's if I'm going to look up Babylon 5 on the App Store, which there aren't any apps right now, but in video there is, and I can look that up either in Apple Music or Soundtracks if I want to listen to Christopher Franka's soundtrack of Babylon 5. This is one of the awesomest things about the Apple TV is the MFI controller support. I find this nearby me a lot because I'm not a big fan of the Siri remote. The touch surface is a little too sensitive, even on its lowest setting, and I really wish I could double tap on the Siri remote to activate a VO tap rather than having to click the remote. That is not very intuitive to me. Although I've been holding a controller and been playing video games on controllers since the early 80s, that is absolutely intuitive to me. Therefore, grabbing this Nimbus controller and flipping through this UI super fast,
$4.99, one of one, button,
is one of the things that I've really enjoyed about the experience with the Apple TV. I can do home with it, so...
Search, tab, 5 of 5.
All right.
App Store, row 1, column 3. Movies, row 1, column 1.
I kept hitting the center button in the middle of the controller, and that took me back as well. Also, if you want to move apps, you actually can.
Search Hulu, row 3, column 1. Moving Hulu.
I just held down the button and press play to delete. I think I can actually delete Hulu if I tap this again. And I can get out of this by hitting the button at 3 o'clock. But I held down the 6 o'clock button, and if I keep holding that down, I actually could move apps. So there is not... You can't do everything with the Nimbus controller. You're still going to turn around and use the Siri remote for some things like App Switcher and what have you. But to enter in text or to move around the UI really fast and still have the ability to play games, which actually I can play Jetpack Joyride with VoiceOver on, which is actually kind of crazy.
Search, row 2, column, Hulu, NFL, row 4, column 1, Hulu, Jetpack Joyride, row 3, column 2,
so Jetpack Joyride. Launch Jetpack Joyride here. Some games you have to turn VoiceOver off with in order to play them, but this game I actually...
Welcome back, Ranger 1138.
Okay, so I put that on pause and get out of here. Oops. Okay, now I'm going to get back home with the Siri remote because it's just faster.
Jetpack Joyride, home. Jetpack Joyride, row 3, column 2.
There. But I could play that with VoiceOver on, and it's one of the few games that I could do that with. Although turning VoiceOver off will make the game perform a little faster. The TV OS does need some improvements in making things faster or to make VoiceOver flow a little bit more fluid. And I think some of that is due to the way that they're actually storing more stuff in the cloud. There's a lot of streaming going on, and they're trying to use as little of the device and its storage as possible. There's your app thinning for those who are keeping up on iOS app thinning. It really does bog down, though, in, say, things like Netflix. I've noticed VoiceOver kind of drag a little. But these are early days, as I've said on the podcast before, and early adopters are used to that. $49.99, available in the Apple Store or from SteelSeries themselves. I really like the build quality of this controller. I really like it for some of the games that I own, and I really enjoy being able to get through some of these menus a lot faster with the controller that is more intuitive to me than, say, the Siri remote. But that's just an opinion. Many people feel that the Siri remote is just fine. I just reached down and accidentally flicked something, and that's why you heard computers 2 of 2, because a Siri remote is so crazy sensitive. Anyway, links in the show notes, and if you have any questions or if you would like to learn more, head on over to show notes to find out more. Or if you have some game suggestions, hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com/rangerstation.
Here's a tip from Andrew, which is expanding on a previous tip. On episode 40, Travis sent us some tips about Windows 10 and how to access some shortcuts on the start menu, namely accessing the context menu and the task manager. Andrew points out a quicker way to do this using keyboard shortcuts. To access the Windows 10 context menu, move to the start button and then press Windows plus X. This will bring up the shortcut menu that Travis talked about, which gives you all sorts of different options and advanced options for controlling the start menu and much more. Incidentally, in Windows 7 on my laptop, Windows X brings up the Windows Mobility Center, where I can control my volume, display brightness, and connect and disconnect from wireless networks, among other things. Andrew also points out the shortcut for the Windows Task Manager, that is, Control-Shift-Escape. That works in many versions of Windows, I believe, all the way back to XP. Now, there's nothing wrong with the way that Travis suggested. Perhaps you prefer keyboard shortcuts, perhaps you prefer menus. The beauty about computers is that you can do either one, and you'll still get the same result. Thank you, Andrew, for sending that in. And if you have a tip, send it over to feedback@blindbargains.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us at Blind Bargains.
Cards and letters and emails come into us at Blind Bargains, and well, mostly electronic stuff like emails and
electronic tweets. Letters.
But if you brought in card or a letter to Jay, maybe a letter to Santa in Braille to Jay in a booth, that'd be shockingly cool. That would be neat.
Either so if you Braille see us out or about, printed print. Just don't do handwriting. I can't really OCR the handwriting. I can maybe get CrowdViz on it.
Yeah, I don't know that there's any calligraphy OCR available yet. I'm sure it's being worked on. That would be true. I mean, if all these things are coming with handwriting modes like the iPad Pro and the Surface and Edge and Something's got to be able to grab that stuff and put it into some text, I'll tell you what. Yeah. The text that we did get in from Miss Jan Brown, she said that we asked, and so she sent in her comments about the Braille conductor from last, blind conductor from last Braille conductor. I love that part. That was good.
That would be cool.
I guess you could. You could put one hand on the easel and the other hand on the baton, but you'd have to raise your hand eventually.
The orchestra kid.
Yeah, there we go. The orchestra kid. It's like that kid, but for orchestras. The comment she had made was about how she also becomes kind of tired of the stories that are about us as an amazing inspirational thing and how sighted people are enamored in some ways for these kinds of stories. The term that you're looking for here, and it is a real term, I'm not making this up, is inspirational porn or hashtag inspirational porn. And it's not just about blind people. It's disabilities in general or feel good stories. There's a reason why when you watch the news and they do the whole, it's been 10 minutes of murders and terrible things that have happened around the world and 5 minutes of sports and 3 minutes of weather. And now let's go out on something very positive. Hey, everybody.
Oh, geez. And finally, tonight's news, a blind man manages to cross a street by himself.
Amazing, got video. Everybody.
Great.
That's why your tax dollars have those poles that vibrate and say, don't walk. You wonder why if anybody uses them. No, I'm kidding. The thing that I can say in this direction is you can affect things on the local level by being seen. I know that sounds really funny, but going to a restaurant, there are a couple of restaurants here in the local area that we've gone to as a family. And yes, it helps that they're easy to get to. And yes, it helps that they're you know, accessible and that I can read their menus online or things like that. But they're restaurants I just generally like. And so going to them a couple of times, the staff has gotten to know us and they don't necessarily feel like they need to come and help us or assist us as much. And we've taught them over time that we're just like any other customer. We want to come in, eat food and give you some money and then we'll disappear. Doing that helps others get an idea of how we work as a community. It's all perceptual.
Yeah. You know what? It's just getting out there, I guess. And hopefully at some point when you have a story of a blind conductor or a blind woodworker or a blind chemist, it doesn't make headlines because it's just a thing, you know, and we're not to that point yet. So maybe some of these headlines are necessary and some just to remind people, we saw all about how the story is written and, you know, sometimes they just go way overblown, but,
Well, and you had a comment off air about how it's not just our community. It also happens to deaf individuals. Yeah. It happens to people in wheelchairs. But people have a tendency to judge a book by its cover.
And other minorities, too. I mean, forget disability. What, if you're a black person or a gay person or a woman, you know, or multiples of these, then people make stereotypes. We make stereotypes. Blind people don't think that we're immune from it. You hear someone's
about
voice.
People's voices? Yeah. Oh, go, yeah. You mean vocal fry? Like, yeah, this?
We do it too. We're not, you know, we're not perfect
and have
people.
Everything raised on the back of a question. So you sound like a Cardassian? No, that never happens.
Gosh,
in our
community. No. Some of the news reporters do that. And don't understand.
Remind me that we have CSUN coming in a couple of months. Every time I do that, I remind myself it's California. We're going to California. So
we have some tweets on Twitter, and I'd like to read them to you
on
right now.
Twitter? Do you have some tweets?
Jaded Angel 143 with a perhaps jaded comment talking about the merger from Vector Capital with Freedom Scientific and Optilec. So it says, watch Optilec's actually good magnification products go down. Well,
yeah. Well, I could see how some people might feel that way. I think it's still too early to tell, but that just means that on Blind Bargains, the classified for those Optilecs goes up in value, kiddos. That's how that works. We don't know yet. There's going to be people saying the same thing about the Topaz and the Freedom Scientific products who are fans of those devices. So,
we don't know what will stay. I don't think everything will stay, but we don't know what will stay at this point.
Yeah.
One thing that a sentiment that certainly is quite possible from Featherbear15, it says, here we effing go again. How many will lose their jobs this time? And that's certainly a definite consideration, especially in sales and marketing and those type of positions that get duplicated.
We've made this comment earlier this year. The size of exhibit halls and booths have been getting smaller. The number in, people that are taken out into the field at these trade shows has gotten smaller. Natural contraction, sure.
Some of the booths have gotten bigger, though. You're going to have like a CSUN with like the front booths are going to like go halfway back to the, halfway back. And there'll be a few extra tables.
And then there's these big empty spaces where booths used to be. But that's happened at CSUN for a long time, actually. That's they've oversold it or things have happened. And that's happened in convention. I was thinking that first time that we were in Florida, there was like an entire section that I thought was going to have people, and then it didn't. They kind of moved things forward.
Oh, that was a huge exhibit hall. That was the biggest one. We're back there this year.
Yeah. In the big Rosen Center, or as I like to call it, the shopping mall of hotels. The way that is. It's like a food court and everything. It's really cool.
The shingle. Yeah, it's the shingle that we're at next year. So,
but in this situation, AT is just mirroring what's going on in technology as a whole. RDO is gone, right? So out came out the information that RDO was being bought up and shut down. And we're seeing contraction in the streaming music phase. This is just normal. Oh, it happens in business. It's just that we're more familiar with the players.
Yes.
Here.
Finally, on the Twitters, in reference to streaming music, from @EdEdwardson, otherwise known as Stephen Clower.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy.
Known a few different names. One of our regular listeners and contributors. In reference to most recent podcast, I have used 128 gigabyte SD cards in my Clip Zip. So I guess if you just format them correctly, works like a charm, formatted as FAT32. So, not official, but you can get these memory cards to work in these devices. There's just, there's ways to make it happen. So cool stuff.
How do you feel about a 32 gig iPad for $799, Jay, or 128 gig iPad for $749 to start? Those were the two options on the iPad Pro, by the way.
I'm good. I'm going to get a Clip Zip and put 128 gig card in for 50 bucks.
We get more than 32 gig, I'll tell you that. You don't get a giant cafeteria tray of a screen, but...
Well, there's a lot of cool things going on with the iPad.
Gotta have trade-offs,
Trade-offs. Some things are better than others.
They're better off in make-believe,
That's
how that
really
goes.
That's a really bad invitation.
I hear you, but have you ever heard the one on National Lampoon? There's some great ones with the one with the... Bill Murray playing the bass, and it's Mr. Rogers talking to him about how to play the bass. I'll have to find that for Patrick, who hates me when I do these YouTube clips. But speaking of YouTube clips, here's what Jay was referencing.
Come in.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Mr. Rogers. How are you?
Fine. Thank you for inviting us today. I've always wondered what you did here. And
is this the musical computer?
This is it, Mr. Rogers. It looks like a suitcase. It's built in a suitcase. And this is a plastic container that is put in a drawer to keep knives and forks in your kitchen.
Well, we have one.
Right.
Yeah, but this one's upside down, isn't it?
Well, that's because it has electrical parts inside of it.
I see. What about all these?
Well, these buttons cause the computer to make sounds and noises like this. You can put your hand up and down and do things with light. I can change with these switches. And you use this for your dance classes. We do, Mr. Rogers, but we use it in a different way, though. I'll clap my hands and this computer will go on like this. It's warming up.
It surely is.
I think it's starting to make music.
Oh, I bet the children love this, don't
they? They do. They're fascinated, Mr. Rogers.
Oh, I certainly do.
It's almost ready to play, and I'll clap my hands to turn it off.
And it goes off?
Yes. Carol, yes.
And many things work by electricity. Toasters work by electricity.
Yeah.
And wheels go round and round. And we want to sing a song for you all about wheels.
Wheels.
And I want you all to get up on your toes and turn, and you're going to be turning wheels while we sing.
Wheels, wheels turning round in the air and on the ground. Wheels are round and never square. They help us get from here to there. Wheels, wheels turning round in the air and on the ground. Let's see how it feels to be turning, spinning wheels.
That is electronic music, courtesy of the early 60s, with Mr. Rogers. And Mr. Rogers has some amazing clips of things that get pulled up onto the internet from time to time. I think someone did the one that always amazed me once. I woke up hungover from college one day, and I turned on the television, and I saw Mr. Rogers with his head in the toilet, and I thought, okay, I must be seeing things, because I believe that's Fred Rogers in front of a toilet, and I'm hungover. I could be right there with him. But the point being here is he actually was explaining how toilets worked. And, you know, you don't want to put toys or hands in here or things like that. And it was a real trip. But the weirdest things will show up on the Internet Archive from time to time of what Mr. Rogers talked about. And this is just another one of those clips. The forebearers to Trent Reznor and other electronic musicians came from things like this.
You know, Mr. Rogers was really ahead of his time on letting people explore things. We had there was the clip with the, you know, him having the blind sax player on, the jazz musician, and showing the Kurzweil. You know, he really introduced kids to a lot. So always cool when those clips are out there. And, you know, there's 35, 40 years of Mr. Rogers stuff out there. And lots of cool
when
stuff.
When are they going to do that? I don't need a Bob Ross marathon on Twitch. I need a Mr. Rogers marathon.
There's lots on YouTube. You certainly can track some down. They're all over.
And there's like an entire channel. Just leave it in the background. Something on Pluto TV. I just go look for it, and it's just a stream of constant amazing, wonderful stuff. You know, the classic Sesame Street is on Netflix, and I surprised my mother by being able to recite some of them without seeing them for 30-something years. That says a lot. Choo, choo, choo. He's going to get that train through.
Time marches by, you know. Mm-hmm. There was Sesame Street on Betamax, probably.
Right.
We talked about Betamax last week.
Yes.
Discontinued.
Formats of the future.
Kind of surprised us that it was still around. This surprises me.
Yes.
That this was still around. As of Sunday, Microsoft has officially discontinued the Zune music service.
Yes. Zune service.
There was... Zune, which is so popular, I didn't even know how to spell it correctly until reading it here. Z-U-N-E, not Z-O-O-N.
Sported such colors in one review by CNET as baby poop brown and Halo Green, I think, was another one that was used.
There
was
I didn't realize there was a streaming edition. Music service on the Zune.
Yes, there was.
Some people called it podcasts. The iPod killer.
I would not have. Well, it was true that inside it did say hello from Seattle. They actually had that etched into each Zune because it was kind of a shot at Apple. And yeah, that sort of didn't. The players were very popular, but they invented such terms as squircle, which was a square and circle, a circle inside a square. Squircle.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could squirt a song to another person. I'm not kidding. That was an actual term that was used in marketing.
That should never have been used in marketing.
Mollywood made fun of it for episodes of Buzz Out Loud on end.
Users are encouraged to try out their three-year-old Groove music service. That one's another popular one.
Yes, which lives on in Windows 10. Right.
That's what they're being told to do. The Zune, if you own a Zune, you're now being directed to yet another failed music service that will die next year.
We'll just migrate you on through. Here's some SkyDrive credit. Here's a gig of storage.
Next we're going to migrate you to was it OneDrive or whatever, even though your unlimited storage has just been erased.
Yeah, we just lowered that in the last week and a half because people were abusing it. So that's just fantastic. Have you ever seen the Robot Chicken did one where iPod versus Zune? It's Steve Jobs there are people who go, oh, the rumors are true, you know, and Steve Jobs standing in front of Zune, and Zune drops to his knees and he's like, do it, put me out of my misery. And he goes, you're not even worth a bullet. It's like, no, and I'll have to put a link in the show notes for that as well. Okay, so I'm doing good here.
You know, you keep talking about things, you're just gonna, all you're doing is,
I know, you want to know where these references come from. I'm a child of media, as I've often said and said. So okay, I gotta make a note to myself here. Zune clip, and what was the other one I said a second ago? I said something else. All right, something about so there's information to be found here, and you can hear it over at blindbargains.com if you want to be able to hear some of these links or the expanded versions of these things that we talked about. A couple of people did actually tell me they were going to get the music for Cats that we mentioned last week. I have to admit that with a cat in my lap, thought about purchasing it. Thought about it. Didn't, but thought about it. But maybe that's a holiday stuffer for the loved one or feline in your life. So definitely let us know in the comment section or hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com/blindbargains. And of course, be sure to listen to us on your Amazon Echo or possibly the accessible music player that's available from Blind Bargains, and rate us on whatever rating system your podcast catcher of choice uses. So whether that be iTunes, Downcast, or whatever, if you hear us on it, go ahead and throw in a rating for us, because that not only helps the Blind Bargains cast, it helps other accessibility podcasts as well.
You can find AT Guys at atguys.com. And yes, next week will be Black Friday week. We're going to have all sorts of sales. Stales? They will not be stale.
Stale sales.
They will not be a stale sale. They will be a great sale.
That'll be sometime in January after all the Christmas cookies have gone bad. In January,
the sale becomes a stale.
Right.
Get the sale before it comes stale next week, and you can. We'll talk about it. Of course, we'll be on our own shopping show next week, the Blind Bargains Holiday Cast. And of course, you can go to atguys.com, at atguys on Twitter. We are going to have some never-before-seen holiday deals for Black Friday, and of course, Blind Bargains itself on the Blind Bargains app and the website. Lots of Black Friday, Cyber Monday deals. Look, I haven't gone to an actual store for Black Friday in probably 7 or 8 years. There is just no reason to do it anymore. Do it from your home. Let the people that are working there go home or whatever. You know, just, I don't want to encourage these stores to keep opening on Thanksgiving, because they shouldn't be.
There's a couple of that have turned it down, which I thought was really cool.
And then Ray, so. And is it was it the Ray outlet or whatever. I'm not sure if I have that right. But they said we're going to close on Black Friday.
And I think Staples and somebody else said that they were not going to get into, not that I thought about lining up at Staples, but some of these that generally didn't see big Black Friday swarms of people are choosing to do so, but they're also taking advantage of a good kind of PR swell that's coming up out of this. And Cyber Monday was always a better deal for me anyway. And I kind of like that.
Yeah. Cyber Monday, the way I've seen it break down recently, if you're trying to do the shopping, the bigger stores, the stores that have a brick and mortar alternative, you know, like a Best Buy or the Apple Store, or whatever, and then some of the others, Amazon, Newegg, will start stuff pretty much now. And things are going to come online Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. A lot of the mom and pop online retailers especially will do some Black Friday and also Cyber Monday sales. So, you know, you kind of have to just plan ahead.
How do you feel about that Saturday one for those
the small business Saturday? Yeah, you know, it's, yeah. I don't see it being pushed as much this year, but, you know, definitely try to support small business wherever I can. So encourage you all to do the same, especially, you know, it really helps them stay afloat, and we appreciate the support to anybody who comes to us. So absolutely. And send us your shopping tips. If you find any really good deals, you can always tweet at Blind Bargains and let us know what you're finding or what you're looking for. And we will see what we can do. These deals move fast, folks, on Black Friday. So stay up with us. Sometimes we do some 3 a.m. deal tweeting. It happens, and you can get some deals, but you have to be ready for them. So especially on Amazon, if you have that one-click thing ready to go and you're just going to press a button, oh, it's so delightful. And you can spend a whole bunch of money at the same time.
There was a nice one. Belkin, actually, their server crashed because they had, like, buy a cable, get a Roku. Then it was on Kinja and it just melted servers. It was so funny. Definitely follow us on Twitter because you can find out how to get like Papa John's pizzas for 18 cents. That was one that went out just recently. Oh, yeah. Where so you never know what's going to show up on the tweet feed. So definitely now is the time to follow us over at Blind Bargains on Twitter and get to hear about not just accessibility, but all sorts of crazy deals. And tell us your wish list. What are you looking forward to be coming from Santa this year? Put it in comments or let us know at feedback@blindbargains.com. So, will you enjoy your holiday? Everybody be safe for Thanksgiving and any travels you might be doing. And we hope you take the Blind Bargains cast with you and share it with your friends and let them hear all sorts of crazy insanity that we do. And then we'll be back in December with more information and more goodness and turning the corner as we head into this year in AT 2015. Lo and behold, we're coming up on the end of another year, everyone. How amazing.
It's a little crazy. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Patrick, for dealing with my 74 pieces of an off show and putting it all together. We really do appreciate the work that you do for us, even though we don't know what day we're recording. It's all right. But thanks so much, Patrick, for dealing with us. And thank you all for listening. We will see you via the holiday shopping guide next week.
Have a good week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.